woke up this morning with the sun down shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the news, so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper.
Well, welcome to Stacey Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. After our 3-day Memorial Day weekend, which didn't feel so much like Memorial Day with no parade. However, it was Memorial Day weekend. We have S&P futures. We're rallying here. Anyway, we're up 485 in the Dow. S&P futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 163. That's obviously very good news for people who are along the market, which virtually everyone is, including my clients. However, I just wonder how much we went from the Fed to the Chinese to now all you got to do is lob a vaccine breakthrough overnight without any checking, without any sort of nobody cares whether it's true or not, and we're up. Whatever, 2 points the next morning, 2%. The chances of people manipulating this are striking. But as the population is, Brendan, as long as you manipulate it to the upside, it's okay.
But for every upside, is there a downside? I mean, almost every time some of these things have come about, very shortly there's been a precipitous drop as well, again, as things level out.
As the vaccine turns out to not be a vaccine, you mean?
Yeah, or that you know, something happens with some information about the company, like they don't really have the good studies that they were projecting earlier. It turns out that they've tested 8 people and 3 monkeys instead of 100,000 people or something, and all of a sudden what seemed really good news yesterday isn't so good news today.
But right now it's good news, and we're also in the idea that, just as you might have expected, again, people don't think that this is a problem, and you know, I might be on my own self at the end of the plank. Merck in collaboration. Imagine that. Imagine that. That one of the top 3 or 4 companies that have managed to buy every friggin' everybody else up, that if somebody actually does have a vaccine, that somehow Merck and Pfizer will get their grimy hands on it. I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
I'd just be stunned.
You know, that goes to the point that we've talked about before, that part of the justification for pharmaceutical companies to raise the price exorbitantly for their products was R&D. But shouldn't the price of R&D be different than the price of acquiring somebody else who has spent money and time doing something that may or may not turn out to be the real vaccine?
You're getting way too complicated for us here, Brennan. I mean, we shouldn't have any questions like that. The fact is, the few people, the big people always win. As soon as you can understand that, you South Side people, your life will be a lot easier.
I think that's a compliment.
I think it would be, because I'm having trouble understanding that, and look at how miserable it makes me. So, just saying.
Well, you know, even though you live at in Lincoln Park, you're still a Southsider too at heart.
I don't think there's any question about that. Matter of fact, I was in Indiana this weekend. Talk about a halfway rotten weekend, halfway nice weekend. My significant other, her one of her best friends, who has fallen on not the world's best times, I get this panic call on Saturday as I have people over at my place doing some work. Like, you got to come get me because they have let's just say there's transportation issues there. Her horse that she's been taking care of forever, his old horse, is in distress, which can only mean one thing, right? So,
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I hustle out there, and I manage, the people at the barn manage to get the horse up with the help of a winch in the pasture. And once she was on level ground, she was able to hang in the arena for a while. And of course, on Sunday morning, they have the guy come and take care of that. So that part was not all that pleasant. 37 years old, though, for a horse is a pretty good run.
It is. But I'm sorry for Audrey's loss.
Well,
anytime you have an animal like that for that long, it's
sort of her friend's horse, but Audrey knew the horse pretty well too, and of course Audrey's a horse girl, so any horse that goes down is like, you know, it's like having an A-bomb go off in a city kind of thing. But let's just say the flies were biting out there. Boy, they got some. I mean, they go through different iterations of flies as the summer goes out at horse barns. Nobody knows anything about horses, and this particular group was—they're biting before they land, it seems. And then we had the rain on the way out there, Brennan, on the Stevenson was something. I mean, I've seen rain that hard before, but very seldom. I mean, it was tornado warnings, and the sirens are going off, and I'm driving out there to take care of this horse. It was like one of those things. But then we went off to Indiana. We're at the Bass Pro Shop. You don't need any masks. And you know what? I didn't see anybody falling over dead, Brennan. I just, you know. And we were in Ogden Dunes. And they, of course, had canceled their Memorial Day parade, which really sucked. As a person who has an uncle who died in the war, and my dad sort of half did because he came back from the South Pacific with skin cancer. It led to something, led to something, led to something, and he didn't make it very far either. So I feel like I lost two people in the war, and Memorial Day is kind of a special day. And then in these small towns, you know, not so much, I don't think, in World War II, Brendan, but in pretty much every other war, I really do believe that the small towns bear a much more percentage, significant brunt of the damage to people than big cities.
Oh, absolutely they did.
Yeah,
absolutely. In Midwestern towns and Southern towns especially, you've got the military history and connection much more than the urban population cities.
World War II, I'm not so sure.
Now, World War II was pretty uniform, and as soon as Pearl Harbor happened, people all over the country, college students, just every social class volunteered for the Army. But you're right. When you get to Korea, especially when you started getting to Vietnam, and after Vietnam when you have the all-volunteer army, much higher proportion for small towns and lower socioeconomic classes.
In some areas, you seem to have a history of it. When I say a history of it, there's people in the National Guard, and if you haven't, I mean, basically, if you had your, I won't say your head up somewhere, in the last two or three wars, it should be obvious to all that these wars are being fought by, well, since there aren't any, quote, use the term lines, in warfare anymore, a lot of the people that are dead and wounded are these, you know, you could be in a National Guard troop from God knows where, from Huntley, that is, you know, you might be mechanics on Jeeps or something. And
yep,
a bomb will go off in the mechanics place and all those guys die. And it's not like there's, so they've had some situations, but I mean, if you go to my extended families in Columbus, and I've mentioned this years ago, that Sunday morning, of course, Brendan, I'm the first one up, right? So I grab the Columbus paper, and inevitably in the Columbus paper there'll be some article of one of the groups near Columbus, you know, something National Guard group that takes care of tanks or something is heading over to, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq or someplace.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you never see that in the Tribune. You'll see the refueling wing out of O'Hare will go somewhere, and you'll get that story. But other than that, you don't hear anything ever, pretty much. Where in Columbus, it's, you know, Columbus is not a small town, but it's, you know, there's a group moving, like, seemingly all the time from around there, going someplace. They probably have, you know, how many National Guard units or that kind of thing. And those are the guys that are carrying the brunt of a lot of these, quote, modern wars. So one of the guys, there's a older dude down there, interesting old guy. He was a engineer and foreman for Fluor, and he was one of the guys who was the builders of the original Metropolitan Sanitary District purification plant out in Stickney.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And of course, he has buddies from all over the place. He grew up in like a one cabin thing in Kentucky or someplace. But one of his buddies who was, you know, recently passed, because this guy's 80-something, his family in from Dakota, one of the Dakotas, they were huge gun collectors. And I mean, you know, massive gun collectors from... They had front-end loaders in the Revolutionary War, that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know what their collection, when everybody died, they... I don't know how many trucks it took to take them all down to Denver, and they sold them at some big gun show. But every one of the guns, except one, I don't know why it was so special about the one, every single one of the guns used in Dances with Wolves was from their collection.
Huh.
And anyway, interesting gang. And he has this old truck, and he goes, you know, I'm half tempted for you and I to hop in and put the flag up and, like, go around the parade route ourselves. I'm going... but you know, I see there's hardly anybody down there, even though it's a holiday weekend. We see one party on Saturday night, and the house is on beachfront. Of course, there's zero beach, Brennan. I mean, none. It's been, I don't know, all the walkways down to the water, you can't even go. The one area where Audrey used to have our house, there's a beachfront walkway, and there always was a seawall. With the sand and everything was over the top of the seawall, unless you look closely, you never even saw it. Well, now if you walk down there, when you get to the seawall, there's a 12-foot drop to, like, the ground, and it's just all water. And this is coming to these people's backyards or living rooms. And now they've thrown in the tower. They're just putting huge boulders down. I don't think they ever expect to get their beach back. I mean, it's really something, because what they, talk about unintended consequences. They're right next to one of the ArcelorMittal steel. So there's a spot there for ships to come in. And, well, one of the issues is right by Burns Ditch. I mean, Burns Ditch is it's a few feet away. So they extended the break wall out. But for those that don't aren't too into Lake Michigan, very brief because I was there this weekend, so. Everybody has to listen for a second, I guess. The lake is almost like a living organism. I mean, depending on the wind, depending on the water flow, there's rotation. You don't just have a beach. The sand rotates constantly, and there's constantly dumping sand in one place. If you ever stayed a weekend or a week down in Michigan City, you walk down to the water, and even now with it up this high, and you'll see sandbars all over the place. And the next day you walk down, and they're all in different spots.
Uh-huh.
And there's this dramatic movement of sand. And as soon as they extended this thing out even a little bit, all the rotation of sand that we used to dump the sand on the beach at Ogden Dunes now is dumping on the other side of this breakwater. And just to give you an example, you probably know this, but it's Tuesday morning after the weekend. I'll recount a little Chicago history. Chicago River... You see where it goes out now, it pretty much goes straight out, and then there's the locks, and it looks pretty neat and all that kind of stuff. It didn't used to go out there. The river used to make a bend right around Michigan Avenue and actually go through what is now Grant Park, with a big, huge dune on the lake side of it. It used to actually empty into the lake almost north and south right about Monroe Street. I don't know if you knew that or not, Brendan. I think you probably did.
Now that I didn't know. I didn't know that part about it. But, you know, when you were talking about the area by Burns Harbor, it is a really good example, though, of the unintended consequences of doing things like breakwaters. You see it all along the lakefront here. And, in fact, when you're talking about lakeshore erosion, not only in Indiana, but here in Chicago, with all the revetments and things they've been building recently, it's changed shoreline. And that's affected some of the homes on the lakefront here in Chicago. As well,
there's two issues. There's one affecting the lake circulation, and one is just protecting yourself from the fact the lake's a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably the reason why.
When you have the sandbars or any kind of a breakwater, it completely changes the flow of the water
right. And
will deposit sand in a different spot, and that can have extensive consequences in other parts of the lake, not just right there.
Right. Well, in fact, you look at the area Streeterville, okay, that area east of, it's north of the river and it's east of Michigan Avenue. is known as Streeterville.
All the way to Oak Street.
Right. And in a way that that reason why that is people decided in Chicago, well, now that you're going to be essentially a big port, which Chicago was for a real long period of time. I mean, for a period of years, Chicago had more ships coming and going than New Orleans, which is pretty exceptional. Pictures of the river in those days, you wouldn't guess there'd be 50 boats on it. Ships, boats, whatever you want to call them. Anyway, what they had to do is they said, well, that's not gonna cut it, pun intended. They cut the river out into the lake straight and basically knocked down the dune and said the river's gonna go straight into the lake because we can't have a boat coming down to Monroe Harbor and working its way back up like if it's a rowboat. So then they would put up essentially a pier, a breakwall, whatever you want to call it. Well, then the sand would just fill up the mouth of the harbor again because that's the way it rotated. So they'd cut it and go further, cut it and go further. And finally, they get out about, I don't know, half a mile maybe. And all of a sudden, the rotation stops that way, Brendan. And it starts, there was all water to the north of that. Okay, it was all lake. All of a sudden, the sand starts to build up behind this breakwater. It starts to fill in. And it fills in, it fills in, it fills in. And you get a whole other piece of property that was not surveyed. It was not essentially part of the city. So this big hunk of land essentially appears out of nowhere east of Michigan between essentially the river and, I'll say, North Avenue. Is that where you'd put it?
And that's where Streeter started to settle his crop, just squatted right.
Well, Streeter shows up in a boat. He runs aground there. And then, like, 2 days later, while he's trying to get his boat off there, the boat is totally encased in sand.
Uh-huh.
So he says, what a great place for a bar and a whorehouse. Basically. And the city, they said, you can't do that. He goes, what are you talking about? This isn't city property. It just filled in. And they fought that legal battle for how many years? Until Streeterville eventually became part of the city, right?
Yeah.
But they
were, and now it's pretty expensive property.
No, now it's exceptionally expensive property. But anyway, Brendan, shifting gears here a little bit, we clearly are. I think I do know why the market's doing this. It's because the incredible amount of money the Fed's poured into the system, and I think we're very close. They had a former Commerce Secretary, and of course, all the right wingers will go crazy and start tweeting because he was the Secretary of Commerce under Gutierrez under Obama. I don't know what his new job is now. I'm sure he's in a think tank someplace making dough. And so he was on Friday, and he was talking about next year we will have this huge jump in inflation. He says way too much money in the system. I mean, all of a sudden now we won't need the money in there for whatever it is we need it for now, they think. We're going to have this massive inflation push next year and the year after, and we've got a real problem. I'm sitting there going, wow, the guy must be listening to the show. when the first times I've essentially heard that from somebody other than on this show, and it is interesting. I mean, right now it is, and I had somebody send me an email the other day and said, hey Chief, did you realize that in Venezuela the stock market has gone up in terms of Venezuela and stuff? And I'm going, yeah, I mean, at some point here it's not the market, it's the dollar. It's not the dollar versus the pound or whatever, because everybody's doing the same thing. And there's a lot of reasons why the government's doing it. If you want to pay debt off and you don't think you pay it off, the first thing you do is deflate whatever currency the debt happens to be in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can only imagine in a concentration camp when the money was cigarettes, and all of a sudden you had some sleazy dude, I won't say like Jack because he's not a sleazy dude, that owed somebody like 10 cigarettes, right, as a medium of exchange. And all of a sudden the allies liberate the camp and give everybody cartons of cigarettes, and Jack runs over and says, Brendan, here's the 20 cigarettes I owe you. And you go, wait a minute. those aren't exactly worth the cigarettes, what I let you, whatever it is I let you. Yeah, but that's not my problem, you know, type of thing. And you know that's exactly what people are trying to do here, the government.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can see that happening very, very soon. I mean, there's going to come a tipping point in the not-too-distant future where that's exactly how it's going to work out.
The only problem is when that happens, and it happened all during this late 70s, early 80s, is when the Fed, all of a sudden the inflation is up, the Fed goes, all right, game's over. Because even the Fed is not going to let a 10 or 12% inflation run too long, because people will demand that in the long term. I mean, people may be dumb enough to give people money for zero and or under zero in Europe, but if inflation is 10% here, I don't think you're going to get American people dumb enough to give somebody money for 10 years for 1% when they're giving you back. You know, there'll be some crisis that just won't work. I don't know if you listen to one of the protesters. I know we're jumping around here, which we always do after a holiday weekend, but they're having a protest against one of the one of the mayors or one of the governors. And they interviewed this guy, and the guy goes, "He said, what are you protesting this for? Isn't it? Aren't you worried about the disease?" He goes, "We've gone way past that." He goes, "Everybody knows what the disease is able to do and what it can do. This is not about the disease. This is about control from these people." And you know what, Brandon? I think the man, I think he's spot on. I was listening this morning about the baseball stuff. And now, you know, you can go out and play catch with a mask. And one of the last thing you want is Lori Lightfoot negotiating with major league teams about how safe they have to be in the clubhouse. I mean, is this how the minutia we're into? She still hasn't opened up the golf course in Chicago.
Yeah, or the lakefront.
Yeah, I mean, is this...
or the big park.
So one of my neighbors, my attorney buddy and his wife come by yesterday, and of course, she's 70 maybe, and he's 77. They just come back playing golf, and she's carrying her bag. And I'm thinking, that's just special. And she goes, "What do you think of our mayor?" And I said, "I really hope there's a recall election." And she goes, "I love her. She's like some estranged mother." And I go, "Yeah, she is, but..." I said, "But I don't really need another mother. I could use a mayor." And I don't know, we kind of a difference of opinion. But I love it. It wasn't like we were arguing about it or anything. Hey, this for those our age, at least my age for sure, Brendan, I have to mention here, this is not a fun morning. It's a sad day for the show. My favorite bull died. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on Friday.
Oh, Jerry Sloan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was of our generation. He was the original bull. He was Michael before Michael was.
Oh God, yeah! I used to. To this day, he's my favorite bull. I mean,
He was an amazing ball player, gritty, and he was a guy who got the most out of his ability. And I think he got the most out of his ability not only as a player but as a coach, because he really understood. You know, it's like, Ted Williams was a terrible manager because he had such innate skills that he couldn't relate to the common person or what motivated the common player, but. Then you'd see a guy like Tony La Russa or Tommy Lasorda, who struggled in their major league career. But, you know, Jerry Sloan played way above his abilities. When you look at the natural abilities he had, he just hustled all the time and was really the epitome of a hard-nosed ball player who gave it everything.
Do you know the last major league appearance from Tony La Russa, where it was and how it happened?
As a player?
Yeah.
No. I know he hurt his arm in a pickup softball game in the off season, but I don't know where he hurt himself.
Well, he came up with the Cubs one time, and I don't know if he'd been up before. He didn't hit. He didn't start. I think he was up for like one day. He pinch ran for Ron Santo, and they sent him down after the game, and never came back, or something along those lines.
I didn't remember that.
But
remember that he was playing shortstop in a church league, and. Didn't warm up properly and threw his arm out. It was done.
Of course, he had to show somebody what kind of an arm he had, being a major leaguer, and burn the thing over there. Absolutely, you know. But anyway,
you know as well as I do that, you know, for really talented ball players, more often than not, they'll get hurt in pickup games, and for a couple of reasons. One, they're trying to show off; they don't go through their proper routine. But also because the other ball players do what's not expected. You know, when you're playing at a major league level. You expect a player on the other team to do something a certain way. And so you respond. I mean, you know how to get into position to turn a double play or to reach, if you're a first baseman, reaching for the ball. And you know that the other players also have the skill set and the experience to know how to move a certain way. It's expected they're going to move a certain way. But when you get into church leagues or pickup leagues, you don't have the same level of knowledge or skill set, and that's when really good ball players get hurt.
Well, yeah, because they're also maybe showing off a bit. Who knows? But I mean, it just happens. You get hurt no matter what. I mean, it just be running down to first base and pull a hammy. I mean, it's easy enough. No matter who you are.
Yeah.
But one year he averaged, I don't think they'll ever be before or after a 6'5 guard that averages over 9 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't very many centers in the game now that average 9 rebounds a game.
That's true.
I mean, what did Wilt average his entire career, like 15 or something? Or 18 or 20 or some huge number, he and Bill Russell?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy stuff. Anyway, Brendan, did you go to Michigan?
I'm sorry?
Did you go to Michigan for the weekend?
I did. I came back yesterday afternoon because I've got a class later on today that I need my internet for, so I'm back here in Chicago now, but we were over in Michigan from Thursday till now. Belle's still over there. She's pretty much been over in Michigan since we got back from Arizona in early March.
Cool.
So pretty much for the last 2 months, she's lived over there exclusively, and I've been going back and forth because I need internet for some stuff.
All right, bud. Well, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week. SP Futures.
All right, when you were talking about the Bass Pro Shop, is that the one on 94 near Burns Harbor?
Yep.
Okay. I pass by that all the time.
They got all kinds of, they got everything you need. Everything, camouflage equipment, guns, you name it, boats, everything there. It says,
including masks? Do they have masks?
You don't need masks. Sir. I said, I'm the only one wearing a mask. The guy goes, yeah, why are you? I said, okay, off and went. Anyway, take care of yourself. SP Futures up 53. Yes, that's 53. NASDAQ Futures up 153. Another alleged vaccine on the way. We'll see if that works out. Hopefully it does. Be right back, Mr. Joel Unkannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hodges with Jack Silverman. All kinds of stuff going on this morning. Big rally in the market. Got vaccines coming from every place. All kinds of stuff. We got, nobody cares about all the demonstrations in Hong Kong. Not even on the front page. We don't hear about that stuff. We got vaccines coming. S&P futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up 148. Dow up 490. Was over 500 a couple of times. Over in the, where are we at here? We got Europe. We got my Europe page. Over here we got the DAX up 79, that's 0.7%, so not as much. FTSE up 74, that's 1.2%. CAC round up 48, that's a full 1%. Over in Asia, these guys were not good last week, especially Hong Kong, where they're up today. And Nikkei up to 529, 2.5%. And Hong Kong was down 6% on Friday, I believe. Shanghai up 28, that's 1%. Hong Kong up 432, that's 1.9%. So they got back a third of that. Just for a review, on Friday we had a tepid day. S&P was up 6, NASDAQ was up 39, Dow was actually down 9, so not much on Friday. Here we got bonds, 0.69%. Bonds are still not telling you we're flying out of this recession anytime soon. Bund minus 0.44, that's a positive move there. They've been in the minus 0.5s. Japan minus 0.003, so they've been essentially at zero now for really quite a while. Oil up 84 cents, 34.09. Brent up 60 cents, 36.13. Natural gas 172, RBOB up to 106. Gold is down 12 bucks, 17.23, still over 17. Silver up 7 cents, 17.77. Copper up 3 cents, 2.42, creeping just a little bit. Jack, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, not much sports.
Yeah, not much sports, but besides that, we're looking pretty good in the traffic standpoint. Nothing major to report. We do have closure due to police activity on the Bishop 4 between 130th Street and 115th Street, which is causing some congestion, but besides that, we're looking pretty good. For weather, it is currently 7 degrees with scattered showers throughout the early morning and early afternoon with a high of 79. And in Phoenix, it is currently 70 degrees and clear with a high of 103. And this day in sports, in 1997, the Chicago Cubs beat the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh 2-1 thanks to Sammy Sosa and his elusive inside-the-park home run. Chief.
Inside the park, well, Pittsburgh, that would have been at, would that have been? Three Rivers, right?
Yeah, Three Rivers.
I would imagine. Lousy place. They went from Forbes Field to Three Rivers, now they got a really nice park. But, anywho, do we have Joel?
Good morning, Chief. Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you, bud? What's going on with the, well, first of all, what's going on with the market? Are we happy that Merck finally got their clutches into a vaccine without doing anything themselves?
You got double good vaccine news. You got Merck buying a couple companies, getting involved. One of them is an Australian company working on a vaccine. And then also Novavax, NVAX, is yep. trading up 20%. So, I mean, double good vaccine news. To me, if I'm not mistaken, the market's up ahead of this. Started trading up Sunday night, and boom, yeah. it was up. And off to the races. Only number on the upside I'm looking at is 30.25.75, and that was your high when the Fed first started pumping money into the market, and we had the big sell-off after that. So, really, amazing moves overnight in the spoos.
Well, the amount of money is a wash, and the guy who was at Gutierrez, the former Commerce Secretary, was on Friday, and he was saying beware of 20, 2021, the inflation this is going to bring.
Yeah, I mean, we can say that. I mean, I just, I was thinking the same thing now. You know, what are they going to do? Reverse stimulus? They're going to pull that money out of the market? But if there's inflation, there's inflation in stock prices, too. So maybe they're just getting early cheap. I thought about that, too, but who knows? I mean, if things turn around as quickly as the market's predicting, they're going to have to start unwinding soon and unwinding in a big way.
Joel, I know I'm too far on this side. You can talk me back, but I'm one of these guys that what the Fed has done, you can't. It's such the big gorilla in the room. You can't even really talk about. Again, this is how far to that side of the argument I am. You can't even really talk about what the market's saying because it's just money pouring in. You can't even talk about, you know, Joel being a tap dancer when the bone's sticking out of one of his legs. You know, it's just such a big piece of news. It's such an overwhelming amount of money that I don't even know that you can even look at the market as an information tool anymore. Obviously, I love it because my clients are all long and I put people to work on Friday, put money in, held my nose basically. Now I'm happy as a clam I did it, but, I'm just like, I know this is gonna go higher. Because this is going to happen, but I just can't even. It's like I honestly think it's like the band in Animal House where the guy starts walking down the alley and orders a wall there. But the wall's not yet. There's no doubt.
Got to keep the blinkers on, Chief. I mean, I can't argue with you. The money that's going into this market is going into the economy. It's. You get that? I mean, if they would have known that all these vaccines, which we don't know whether or not they're going to work or how long it's going to take, it's just the market, and I guess you could take it out of the market's hands and take it out of the Fed's hands and just put it in the hands of the machines. And the machines dominating this market, they sold it off, they brought it back, took it down, and they reversed, and they took it back up. Fundamentally, technically, can you explain anything that's going on right now? No. So, I mean, I'll take a step back, and I say, hey, it's not the Fed. It's not the market. No one's predicting anything. This is just, the type of market that you have. It's not run by human beings anymore.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, in a sense that, maybe I'll take the other side of that a little bit, too. I mean, it really comes down to Fed is essentially pouring money into the bond market like there's no tomorrow. I mean, we're buying bonds at a price at which no rational human being would ever buy them, and the Fed's buying them there. So the money, once it enters the system, why shouldn't that fall over into no rational human being would buy the market at a price that the Fed is willing to, because it just spills right over. And they pretty much have not said no. If the market goes down, they'll start buying the market. I mean, it's an absolute. So you really need to be in here. I honestly believe I have my people longer than we've ever been, but I also keep rolling the puts up because the chance of a rat showing up to me is pretty high at some point. I mean, what are these companies? 20 times earnings, 40 times earnings, 60 times. At some point, it's like a Three Stooges auction. Right? I mean, but like I say, I'm very happy that I have not sold calls against, except recently I sold a few, but they're way out of the money. I mean, I'm not trying to have this down. I'm just trying to, whenever it turns, I just want my people to be able to lock in right there.
When it turns, turn around and buy, more calls and sell puts. I mean, hedging is tough in this market. It's always tough to time the market. And you had a lot of people, like I said, exiting on the way down, and now they're just scrambling, like crazy to try and get redeployed. And the market, that's why, once you had to move off the lows, man, the dips were bought. And you can't fight the Fed, you can't fight the vaccine news, and you can't fight the machines. Long-term investing, this is the way it's been for a long time, a very unusual set of circumstances, but it is what it is, Chief. I'm a big loss to explain things that are going on right now. I just, you know, hope that there's not a, you know, a massive second wave. And then, you know, not only, you know, will we go down to where we were before, but we'll go down a lot farther. And
well, I honestly
right
think
now, that's not being factored into the market.
You know, I'm going to say this. I don't think anybody gives a rat's behind about the vaccine. It's all about the money, Joe. It's all about the money. I mean, does anybody? I mean, right now you can say what you want about a vaccine, okay? Or you can say what you want about maybe some people going back to work. But the fact is, every single day right now, I'm going to say 80% of the country is going to have a negative equity day. I'm talking about the stock market. About owners, I'm talking about businessmen. I look out the window, there's going to be one hundredth of the people who's supposed to be downtown today, downtown. I mean, there's leases that aren't going to get paid. There's buildings that are going downhill in value, even though, I mean, who's going to rent anything? How are they going to pay their mortgage? Who's going to pay the, I mean, we're at negative equity days for a huge percentage of the population.
Let me turn the table on this. Would you think the market would be up 53 handles if there wasn't news on Merck and Novavax overnight?
I think that that's allegedly good news, but we're a week away from the same thing happening last weekend, and 2 days later the vaccine was a hoax. Right? And yet,
well, right now you got to play what's in front of you. And right now,
I agree.
It is what it is. That, you know, this is where the market is. Buy, sell, or hold. I mean, selling doesn't do much. Shorting does less.
Oh, God, yeah. You can't do
you
that.
Know, can't buying it, you know, buy the dip. I wish I had more to say to your listeners than that.
No, you are absolutely spot on, and I'm with you. I'm just, all I'm saying is beware. One of these days, even our lion sacks of bleep are going to come out and they're going to say, guess what? The inflation in August was 1.5%.
Yep.
Then we got a problem.
I agree, Chief.
No, so how long they're going to be able to hold off on that? I don't know. And as long as the inflation goes into the market, but you know, it's not going into other assets, though, Joel. It's not going to the buildings. Not really going to houses. You know, it's just in one spot. It's wherever the Fed is buying. They're buying. Bonds and they're buying stock.
What's going to stop the Fed from buying houses in your neighborhood or buying up apartment buildings or buying office buildings? I mean,
at some point, even those people have to have some sanity.
Okay, Chief. All right, man. We're kind of going in circles today.
I
think we're on the same page here.
Next
though,
week,
and, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll be able to get some go. If things go according to plan, I'll be able to get some go blues in there in the fall and. We'll finally can talk sports again.
Hey, you know what?
The market's not that interesting anymore. It just goes up.
Just hope you're wrong. Hey, next week, let's talk about the football. It's time. I mean, all right, buddy. SP Futures up 53. NASDAQ Futures up 151. Are we having a break before Kenny, or is he with us? We're going to break. All right, we'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Must be funny in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. The only thing wrong with that song is it's Tuesday, and it is fun day in a rich man's world. Like a guy like Kenny, he's long everywhere. Kenny, you got to be happy. You got to be smiling ear to ear, buddy. New York Stock Exchange reopens, stocks up. What could be better than that?
Partially reopens, but that is a positive sign, right? Countries around the world are reopening, and without that really significant resurgence yet, although it's still early, so we've got time to see how that plays out. We've got great news out of another biotech company, Novavax, which is the fourth biotech company in the last couple of weeks to, you know, announce advances on the vaccine. Although Novavax this morning announced only the beginning of a trial in Australia, and the market is acting as if they found the cure up 500 points on the Dow, and the pre-market is a little bit, I think, ahead of itself. But listen, I think that just screams to the fact that investors are aching for a solution, right?
I was just talking to Joel, and I've gotten so. This weekend, I actually looked closer at some of these Fed numbers. I don't think, Kenny, guys like you and I and anybody can even look at what the market's doing and saying the market has an opinion when people are buying bonds up that nobody else will buy. The people are the Fed. The amount of money is a wash. I don't care if a war started today, we'd be up.
No, I agreed. And I think that's where the disconnect is, right? You and I keep talking about that because, yeah, they're focusing on the virus, on the vaccine, and blah, 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 and it's all very important, and I get it, but they're ignoring, on the other hand, they're completely ignoring what's going on from the Fed and the central government side in terms of fiscal, the amount of money they're throwing at it, where they're getting the money from. They're just printing, and throwing money at it, and that is going to come back and bite every one of us at the backside, I think sooner rather than later. But today, the market is not focusing on that at all. And it's going to look ahead towards the virus and the recovery going on around the world and all the news that, you know, that we're not seeing these significant surges in infections and or deaths. There is that slight increase, but everyone kind of expected that, partly because more people are getting tested. So as more people get tested, more people are going to come out positive. But that doesn't mean more people are necessarily dying right now. In fact, I haven't, you know, what I heard is that the infection rates are up, but deaths are stable to lower. So, you know, what does that say? It says that, you know, it is coming under control, and that is all positive from the market point of view. But I think all the Fed stuff is going to be a problem.
Well, the area that it's funny, Kenny. Everybody, if you look back at inflation here and other places, over the last, you know, over 100 years or so. Not that I've checked them all out. I haven't. I should, but I don't. There's always something. There's always something that you want to be in, something where the inflation hits. And last time here, you wanted to be in houses. You wanted to be in any kind of a condominium. I mean, you made a fortune in the early, in the early 80s if you landed on any kind of a fixed asset. If it was housing, it was and it was gold and it was silver. Correct. Now this time, it's not housing. It's a little bit gold, but not that much. I mean, a little bit. I've been long in there, and I've had a nice year by being long gold. You know, but still, it's not any better than being quote. This time, it's all market. It's market, and it's bonds that are going to prices that you know, even a three-headed dog wouldn't buy at that price.
Yeah.
I mean, so right now, it's all in. The Fed has gotten way more. Well, I don't think the Fed even controls where. Well, they control the bond market; they're the ones that are buying it. But it's pretty much stayed in the. I mean, right now the inflation is in the market and the bonds. So that's where, if you want to ride it, that's where you have to be. I mean, last time you wanted to own 15 houses if you could,
right?
Because houses went from 45 to 110, which is a big number. I mean, I mean, I'm going to say that my parents' home in 1969, when we moved in there, was $39,000 they paid for it. And by 1982, it was worth, you know, $8,500.
Yep.
You know, which is a real number. So, you know, maybe even more. Maybe a buck and a quarter. So, and people in the last time, the middle class. That's why this is so haunting to me, Kenny. Is that the last time the middle class that owned a home, you know, they certainly participated there, and if they had cash in the bank, the bank always paid them, you know, I'm going to say a percent or two more than the inflation rate. But this time, if all of a sudden next year the inflation rate is 15%, which I think it could very well be if they were actually counted it properly, or 12 or something like that, nobody's going to get. The individual homes are not going to do that because that group of people's broke. And it's not going to happen to the bank. So we're going to absolutely, the people for 20 years we've been sticking a knife in, we're now going to go into the, now that it's in, let's twist it.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm not sure what the answer is going to be. And you and I talk about this every week, right? Because it continues to spiral out of control. But, you know, they all think that they're doing the right thing. And I suppose this forced shutdown that we've all lived through and are living through, they had to do something. But what it's going to look like when we come out the other side is going to be very, very interesting. And I think, you know, I think it's going to be an eye opener for a lot of people, because it's going to be, if you think it's difficult now, it's going to get more difficult, I think.
Well, you ask yourself, as I was doing my, I'm trying to get a guest on, he doesn't like to get up this early, who's an absolute expert on the Weimar Republic. Now you wonder why anybody would ever be, but evidently there was a massive jolt in German music, art, and everything during that time, which I don't know anything about, of course. I'm not a music or an art guy. But the scary part, Kenny, is when I read the whole fiasco with the Weimar, at the end of the day, the government officials thought it was a success because they eventually forced Britain and France to renegotiate the terms, even though every citizen they had, they basically decimated the wealth of every citizen in Germany. Yet this time around, if the government manages to inflate the currency to where they're paying people back 10 years from now in dollars that are worth half the dollars they borrowed, somebody somewhere, some bump that we elected is going to say, this was great policy. You and I are going to want to have our knives out.
Right.
I mean, somehow or another, there's a disconnect between the good of government here and the good of the people. And that's a little scary.
Yeah, I hear you, and I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure at the moment anybody really knows what to do, because these are unprecedented times we're living in, right? I mean, this is really unprecedented, not only in this country, but around the world. And you've seen what every major central bank has done, because they've been forced to do it, is to launch these stimulus programs and to print money, and throw money at it. So it's not going to just be a U.S. issue or a U.S. problem. This is going to become much more of a global problem.
Well, I'm going to draw real quickly. We don't have much time. The connection between one central bank did it and the rest were forced to do it, is that like you know, one mayor decided to have everybody wear masks, so they were forced to do it, so the next guy had to do it too? I mean, was there any thought behind what they're doing or what our guys are doing now?
Well, I'm not trying to answer that question. All I know is that every country had its own set of issues. Certainly, starting in Asia and then moving to Europe. You saw what happened all across Europe.
Yep.
Certainly Italy getting whacked the most, but every country there. And so the ECB had to do something. The same way the Fed had to do something. The same way the Central Bank of, the People's Bank of China had to do something. Right, they all had to do something to calm the hysteria and try to reignite the economy, or at least prevent the economy from falling off the edge.
I would agree. I don't know that once they got past the preventing it from falling off the edge, they needed to keep going. But that's another story.
Well,
hey, so what's what exactly?
And I think like everything, they look what happened. I mean, during the Great Recession in 2008, 2009, and 2010, that dragged on for a decade.
Yep.
You and I were talking about it. They should have started normalizing rates well before a decade, well before 12 years went by, right?
Hey, real quick, how many guys are going back on the New York floor today? Half the people, or a quarter, or what?
I think it's a quarter of the people. I think there's like 80 people total, but it's only the brokers. The specialists are still not back. The specialists are still going to be operating remotely. They're going to allow about 80 people total, 25% of the floor, and those are mostly brokers that are dependent upon the New York Stock Exchange proprietary trading technology that they have been unable to use from their homes. And so those guys that are going to be the first ones to go back, so they can try to resurrect their business after having been shut down for 10 weeks.
Well, good luck for them. There's a lot of your friends, I assume.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
buddy. Good luck. Good luck to you and them. We'll talk to you next week. SP Futures up 54. NASDAQ Futures up 147. Be right back. We should have Mr. Jeff Joseph.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities, as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P Futures up 52. Yeah, 52. We got a couple of vaccines on Merck working. We got Merck buying into a place. They sit around and wait up everybody else to do the work and pile in. That's good. We, you know, that's the way we wrote that script. And we've got Fed still doing stuff. We got all kinds of good stuff happening. Jeff, how are you? Jeff with us?
Hello.
Hey, how are you, bud? You're with us.
Hey, good morning, Chief.
I got a good one for you. I bet you're the only guy on earth that'll know what song this came from. It's nature's way of receiving you. It's nature's way of retrieving you. It's nature's way of telling you something's wrong.
Boy, I know the song.
Yes, you do,
I bet. But I can't place it. Can you give me a hint?
It was written by Randy California.
Oh, no. I just know the lyric. I've heard it.
Nature's Way from Spirit.
I've heard the lyric.
Yep. So have I. I've reached
stage
two, right?
And what brought that up?
Just because my guy's from Notre Dame, that's their thought of the day.
I see. Gotcha.
So we have baseball. We're debating. We've got the market up. We got the Fed pouring stuff in. We got. Are we going to start worrying about people who say they have vaccines and run the market up 2 days later they don't have a vaccine, or is that okay?
I think we're going to see a lot of that, right?
Oh, yeah. So how was your weekend? What'd you do? What'd you accomplish?
It was a real weekend. It was out. I was with people. I was with, had a daughter graduate high school, and there were
how do they do that
parties with people and adults making decisions about their own risk and
where what state were you
afraid of making those decisions, staying home as they should, and it was nice to see people being back to normal, because that's what I saw. I was with people on maybe three or four occasions who were making decisions about proceeding with their life, all at a proper distance and. Many with masks on, but large groups of people together and enjoying themselves, often making contact and keeping their distance, being wise. It was nice to see what people can do when they have their freedom back.
I was in Ogden Dunes. They had a party at one of the beach houses I mentioned earlier. You can't go on a beach because there is no beach, right? So even though you have allegedly a house on the beach, that place is you're in trouble with that. I mean, they're assessing people. Depending how long your spot is, I think they're assessing people, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the beach work. I mean, what the hell? It's bad.
Wow.
And the interesting part of most of it was caused because of the extension of not the lake level wasn't, but the extension of the thing for the steel company. Mm-hmm. But of course, they're not paying for it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But anywho, I saw one, pretty good sized party. More than 10 people, so if Lori was here, she'd have arrested everybody, but they're all sitting in this huge driveway, like 6 feet apart, all these, in like folding chairs, and like trying to talk to each other, in a big circle, and I'm going, God.
But at least they had a party,
so at least they were doing, if there were old people there, I think I would take some, I'm not exactly young myself, but I would take probably those kinds of precautions, at least until. And we're starting to see.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. In fact, there probably shouldn't be any older. older people.
Oh, yeah, they're not.
You know, I saw, I've seen a lot of data that's just not making the rounds, but one of the really compelling pieces of data, and it's all CDC data, so it's just data that for some reason you're not seeing a lot of reporting on, and one of them showed CDC data showed that mortality, I think the age was 82, that 50% of the deaths were over the age of 82.
Oh, you're talking about that Ohio report.
Under 82.
Are you seeing the? Are you talking about the Ohio report? Over 50% of people,
and then obviously the CDC numbers that came out this weekend that really cut to the heart of the narrative as to how dangerous this really is. And these are the CDC's numbers, put the mortality rate in the worst scenario at 0.26, which is twice the flu. And this is the CDC's numbers. And the CDC said in this report that an average of 60,000 Americans die with the flu each year. On an average, their number, no one else's, so all CDC numbers. And at 0.26, you know, we'd be looking at the likelihood of, 120,000 deaths or twice that amount. So those are serious numbers, and obviously people are going to debate for many years. If you shut down an entire economy that loses 40 million jobs because of something that's twice as deadly as the flu. And I think that's a real debate. I'll swing this back to you. One of the most interesting comments I heard from a hardcore lefty liberal friend of mine over the weekend was, hey, look, there are just some people that really want to be told what to do.
Yeah, oh yeah. Without a doubt.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that. There are some people that really want to be told what to do. Unfortunately, those people, if they live in Illinois, they're in good hands.
I'm just lob it out there for what it is, not casting aspersions on anybody, although people say I am. Virtually everything the Nazis did was for your safety.
Yeah, how about it? Oh, you're gonna use a Nazi reference?
Well, what I'm saying is, but it's what people did. I mean, it is astounding. I do a lot of study from that era because anytime somebody can mold the thoughts of an entire population to something so heinous, you have to wonder how the hell they did it, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So the education is, people don't change. And how was Germany was probably the hotbed of democracy certainly before World War One, or one of them. And how did they change? How did somebody, take that semblance of control over people? And a lot of it has to do with you restore order and you make things function on a level. I mean, what's his name? Mussolini made the trains run on time. He brought chaos. He restored, he brought things back from chaos and anything that the government did. So to a certain extent, your daily life became a lot better under him if you were the regular Italian. And one of my friends in Singapore said that when I got here, I couldn't stand it because even though the guy's not he's not a porn guy or anything like that, but when he moved over there, he still had VHS tapes. He didn't get them for like a month because they had to watch all of them before they sent them to him. And he was very concerned with, the fact that it was a totalitarian regime in Singapore. And after a while, he sent me an email and he said, I can see why people hang here because on 90% of my day, I am way freer here than I am in the U.S. In the sense that my kids at age 10 hop on the bus.
Freer of worry.
Take a cab. My kids will hop in a cab at age 10, coming back from their friend's house. I don't even bat an eyelash.
Yeah. I mean, free of worry.
They're total free of anything like that. Nobody's going to kidnap them. Nobody's doing anything, or they'll cut their head off or do something to them. But,
interesting. That's a great insight because what you've just defined is someone redefining freedom, their own freedom.
Well, here, I mean, you have people.
And it allows you to redefine freedom. Yeah. I've never actually thought of it that way, but it might be a good example of how such an evolution of the soul could occur, that you just redefine what freedom and liberty means to you, and it could go from, to make your own decisions and have your own thought to be free of worry of harm for yourself and the people around you that you care for.
Well, when I was
interesting story arc.
Yeah, I mean, because it was when I was younger. You know, people think I'm nuts, which is probably very true, as Kevin will always say. Is, you know, we used to take the bus from the South Side at age 12, and one kid's brother was 13, so he was older. We'd take the bus to Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I, at age 12, I can remember it because that's when the movie came out, my buddy and I took the 103 3rd Street bus to Halsted, to 79th Street, to went to the Capitol Theater in the midst of a black neighborhood, and because, you know, there was, nobody was shooting people. One neighbor was black, one was white, and there was no damaging it. We went there and watched The Longest Day with John Wayne, because it was the only movie that had it. I was a John Wayne freak. We had to go see John Wayne. Mother's all right, here, you take the 100. And you were a creep. But I've gone to graduation parties of kids now that have their parents have never allowed them on the bus, because God knows what people might be on there with you.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's, freedom can be defined a lot of different ways. And I have a feeling that, I mean, certainly a lot of, because mothers are very protective, and that's what makes them mothers. They'll opt for their kids being safe a lot more than, you know, the guys will too, obviously, but maybe a little more than, they'll buy into anything as long as the family's safe. Not anything, but you know what I'm talking about. This thing, there's one of my friends down the block, she says, oh, I love Lori. She's like the crazy mother that, or something. I go, I don't need a mother for a mayor. I need a mayor. You know, I mean, it's just a difference in point of view. I mean,
we do have a mother for a mayor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. How things pan out with the whole churches in Chicago over the weekend? I know
that
was a story that was brewing, and it's an interesting story to me because it did seem as though that churches and congregations, houses of faith and worship, were somewhat being singled out. It's hard to imagine that a big box store can manage its people, but some sort of congregation can't. I thought that was, I thought they were being singled out and discriminated against, and I'm an atheist, so I was really curious as to what played out over the weekend with all the church services.
I don't think it was, I was in,
potentially in defiance of city ordinance.
I actually took a day off and was in Ogden Dunes, Indiana, and kind of stayed away from there. I know last week the one guy ran for mayor last year paid the fines, right? Willie Wilson?
Oh yeah, right.
There's what you do, and then there's degrees of this. There's people in Ohio and people in New York that, I won't say governors, but the governors sent people, they mandated people to go from hospitals back to nursing homes. They, our friend Carl was on the show, it's not murder, but it's pretty close to manslaughter. It was really stupid.
Yeah,
really
can't believe
stupid.
Cuomo's getting a pass on all that. And, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and so they once the germ got in a nursing home, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, other nursing homes that are, you know, pretty much batting down the hatches, this hasn't happened. Now, this is serious. But at some point, my buddy called me on Friday. His mother has not been out of her room in 45 days.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that if you gave her a choice between an L pill, which is what they used to give people in the war, where you could bite down on and kill yourself, in another 45 days, she's champing on the L pill. He says,
"I'm sure of it. I thought of it yesterday. It was, it's Memorial Day. So my father, being a Normandy vet who passed away in December, I spread his ashes and my mother's into Lake Michigan. I live in Evanston, so family, we all did that today." And of course, when we were walking back, we couldn't help but think, this would have been, we thought he was going to live to 101, but he'd be living alone, not seeing any family. God knows what the conditions were like in the nursing home and the plight of all these people that have to pass on without seeing family. I can't think of a sadder story. And, every day it's got to be happening in the dozens, there's just so many of these sad stories that people are not with family.
I don't see how
passing.
How these people, I don't want to infect anybody, and I don't want anybody dying. You know that. All listeners know that yet. A listener from Ohio sent me a thing 3 weeks ago. She went to see her mother in a nursing home. The nursing home in Ohio has adapted to where if you want to see somebody, they will, an outdoor area, okay, that's, the chairs are 8 feet apart.
There you go.
Everybody sits down and has a mask. They sit there and you can talk, and at least they get to see you.
That's right.
You can't tell me that this thing has to be shut down to where they can't even go to the room next door and talk to their friend or play bridge. And you can't. This is being done for them, not for the people in there. And that's what you have to be very careful of. It's not about disease. It's about power, and it's about cost.
That's right. I mean, there are people that want to tell you, and there are people that want to be told.
Yeah. So my buddy says if you bring dinner, you can't even bring it inside. You got to leave it like at the door. Yeah. I said the guy's named Jim. He goes, yeah, remember the movie Ben-Hur? Remember the part where they had the leper cave?
Yes.
Where there was the big no man's land and a big dirt field in front of it. And you brought the food halfway out, and the leper came out and got it after you left. This is how nursing homes are. Right. Those people aren't lepers. They're your mother or father, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's so sad.
But I mean, it also
a sad story.
But how much longer are we going to let it go on?
I don't know. If you know, this weekend, like as I said, I was in three large gatherings of people. Large meaning, 25 to 50 people. Some being really careful, some not being so careful. I don't know. It felt good. I like to see people making their own decisions about risk.
Yep.
I make it my set. I do the calculations. All right, probably a 1 in 20 chance or 1 in 10 chance. I'm sorry. Probably a 20% chance that if I am lack on social distancing and being out in situations like that, maybe I have a 20% chance of catching this. It's probably high, but you err to the side of caution. And then I have a 0.26 mortality. I'll take that risk all day long. People need to be able to take their own risks. I will take the 4 in 1,000 risk of passing on from a virus. And people just need to make their own decisions.
Well, the stats from Ohio...
just the way it is. I don't believe that people are putting other people at risk. The people at risk should stay home. That's what they should do.
The two research things that I dug into last week was probably after Tuesday, Jeff, so I don't think I mentioned it to you, that the original work done on how far away you have to be from somebody before you could actually catch something, not that some droplet couldn't find you, but a rational, can enough get to you to actually make you sick, which isn't like one strand, was done in the 1925 time frame regarding tuberculosis, which obviously was a huge problem back in those days. And the World Health Organization still has this number. They came, that's a fairly heavy virus, same thing this one is. They claim it was 3 feet, not 6. And that somebody redid the study on airplanes later, and they came up with 6 foot on airplanes, which with recirculated air, obviously you need to be further, one would think. And yep. Bush 2, because since every administration, and they didn't do this to be nuts or anything, every administration has somewhat, except for this one, is put together somewhat of a pandemic plan, or they've looked at the old one and made adjustments. Well, they took the airline survey and said, okay, let's go from 3 to 6. They made that call. They did, but it was nowhere near as rigorous as the 3 foot number. Hmm. So it may not even, but if you ask anybody, they would swear that 48 scientists spent 100 years on a 6 foot number, and the fact is they didn't. The last time somebody did that, the number was 3, not 6.
No, that's my rant, is this science rant, this follow the science bullshit, because it's just not true. We are not following science. There's no science to follow. The CDC just today, within the last 4 hours, changed again what it backed off on a couple days ago, saying that the virus does not live for a long time on surfaces. Well, they just washed that language and put it back up, that it does survive on surfaces. I mean, this thing is a moving target. There is no science to follow. It's a novel coronavirus by definition. There is no science. There are models, but of course models are wrong. You don't fault the models. You fault the people who make decisions based on the models. And we're just, you know, and then, you know, there'd be one thing, and quite frankly, this could become, since you can't campaign on the economy anymore, this could become, you know, Trump's campaign, right? It's just like the fallacy of blindly following science. It's like following an economist during an economic collapse or crisis. Who in their right mind would do that? But then you've got him, you know, who just gets mired in this stupidity, his moronic, you know, obsession with, you know, this toxic masculinity of where, ooh, am I going to wear a mask or not? It's going to make me look less than powerful. It's just amazing that, you know, we have this crisis and such idiocy everywhere, coming from the scientific community, the political community, our leaders. They're all fools.
Well, it's,
you know, thank God for the first responders. They're working hard, keeping their head up, you know, trying to, you know, keep this in motion. But you said the word, everyone's vying for power, and that same to be said of our political scientists. Our scientists have become a political class. The word's been weaponized now for political purposes. Ooh, believe in science. Well, there is no science here. There are models that are, of course, are wrong. That's what modeling is. Black Scholes is the model. It's wrong often in finance, but it's still a respected model. It's how you apply it. And, you know, we are just in crazy times.
Black Scholes was wrong from the day they put it out, and they knew that. It's always been wrong.
Yeah, but it's still a model for reference.
But what it said, if you know what it is, it jams the returns and options into a log normal distribution for ease of calculation, and everybody knows that it is not log normal, and they knew that from the day it came out. But it is a way of comparing one option to another, and it's a way of when you move the interest rate or when you move something or you move the volatility, knowing what it is you're moving, the definition, it's not the definition that's key, it's the change of one number to another which is key. Correct? I mean, it's not...
Yes, right.
So it's, you know, it's not, should IBM trade at a 20 volatility implied, because we'll never know any given day what IBM should be that day. We can tell you what it did in the previous times and those kinds of things. We can tell you what the rest of the market's doing, but nobody knows what it should be priced at today for tomorrow's move. Everybody knows that. But what the model will tell you is if this volatility goes to 30 from 20, what will happen to your option? That it will tell you very well. But it's what you're asking it to do. You're not asking it for absolute numbers.
That's right.
And yeah. and those that lose track and think they are, well, good luck with that. But the same thing, you're right, though, Jeff, same thing with this, but it's all about somehow or another, and you and I have talked about this. And by the way, last week I thought our segment was one of the best, most interesting I ever did on the show since I've been doing it. This whole concept of news being entertainment now, we're seeing people. Science now is defined as find a tweet or an article with a scientific reference that you agree with, and that's science. No, it's not. that's not science. I had this discussion with Audrey's pack of friends, and which are terrific people, by the way. But you're going to get a lot of different points of view, as you will anywhere now, especially with since the object of the press seems to be to give different points of view. And they would say, well, the scientists will not say that if you've already had it, you won't get it again. I said, well, let me tell you exactly what that means, it comes down to, okay, it looks like, and you can get every scientist, Fauci or whoever, to say, if you look at other coronaviruses as a guide, it looks as if somebody who already has it, develops immunities to, antibodies to it, you're good to go for about 2 years until that particular virus might come back that is mutated sufficiently enough so your body doesn't recognize it or doesn't recognize it totally, and you either have a milder case or it could come back and get you again. But there isn't anybody on earth that puts a scientific hat on to say not one person
can't get it between now and a 2-year date. Nobody will do that. They're going to say the same thing. I'll let you know in 2 years. Right? I'll let you know in 2 years. So this weekend, before I headed off into the rainstorm and then points further, there was this thing about experience on the Theodore Roosevelt throws doubt into whether or not people can get this thing a second time. I don't know if you read this stuff. Well, obviously, the Theodore Roosevelt is the aircraft carrier where they had the incidents of, you know, running it through. They stopped in Okinawa, and they offed everybody for 2 weeks. They offed everybody for 2 weeks, and essentially got everybody back and okay again. But you're talking about 3,000 people on a ship, so you know you got a problem there. And anything breaks out, just like these factories that are opening up again. We know that. So everybody gets back on, and now I assume from the headline in the first 15 paragraphs, you never assume, Jeff, right? I assume that they were going to have all kinds of cases of people being sick again. In fact, there were no cases of people being sick again. Some people with the tests they were using were still showing positive on the test, but they weren't sick. So it's just like if you were to test you and me for, like, the chickenpox virus, it's probably still there somewhere because I had chickenpox. Doesn't mean I'm sick or I'm contagious to the next person. So what the headline
doesn't speak to immunity either.
Yeah. So the headline basically said these people are getting sick again. And if you read the article, nobody had gotten sick again. They were testing positive again on that particular test because they probably still had strands of the thing in their body, which is perfectly explainable. So the headline is: so if you somewhere in the city, if there was a bar or a coffee shop, you're going to say, yeah, you probably can't get it again. Somebody say, I read this article about the Theodore Roosevelt. And they obviously didn't read it to the end, Jeff. But that's happening, like you just said, it's happening all over the place. Not every magazine is like Luckbox. You guys actually care about, like, the headline might actually match the article. I mean, imagine that.
We are seeing China start to emerge. Last night, CNN did a respectable...
Hey, Jeff, can you hold that thought, buddy?
Zakaria.
Can you hold that thought? We've got to go to break.
A special on China and its role in the virus. And it's the first time I've really seen CNN take China to task, because they really told the story. It's a story that you and I were talking about in real time as we were working on our China issue. I told you we had people in China that were in lockdowns, that were in residential apartment buildings, that were sealed up and were only allowed to go out to buy groceries for 2 hours once every 2 days. There were people, body bags in morgues. There were people in lines in hospitals, out the door.
Yeah.
And they showed all that, and they showed the doctor who died, and you know, it really showed that the WHO, the World Health Organization, which... Again, you know, it's funny, we're so binary obsessed, right? It's black or white politically. You're for Trump or you're anti-Trump. Nobody sees any nuance or shades of gray anymore.
No.
But yes, of course, you know, you feel obligated to have to say, yes, he's an idiot, he's a narcissist, he's a moron, he's inarticulate, he's embarrassing, can't believe he's our leader. Yes, those are all true. At the same time, there are things that he is doing policy-wise that are long overdue, that energizes people, and some of them like the WHO, the World Health Organization. Really? We pay $500 million
yeah.
and
hey,
China
Jeff,
pays $40
Jeff, hold
million?
That thought, bud. We got to break.
Or the UN not paying, you know, countries not paying GDP. Yeah. This, and we let this go on for decades and decades. So when he steps up on the WHO clearly said, and CNN reported it, that they've covered for China for about 9 critical days while this thing was spreading around the world. And they knew it was spreading from human to human transmission, but they said nothing. In fact, they denied it.
Yep.
And you know, it's interesting to see CNN actually acknowledge this. Because it's, you know, it's something Trump's been saying, but...
Jeff, let's talk about it after break, but S&P Futures is up 55. NASDAQ Futures up 137. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know.
Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello, everybody. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Jeff Joseph. Luckbox Magazine, we have Jack Silverman on the board. We have SP Futures, yes, up 57. We're putting the whip to it today, and we're, I'm long, so happy days here, I guess. NASDAQ Futures up 137. Dow Futures up over 500. We talked about them being up over 500 earlier, but we're lower last time we did this, but now they're up 529, so we're up and away here. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 84.7%, FTSE up 59, that's 1%. Ekron up 48, that's 1%. So not as much as we are up, but still up. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 529, that's 2.5%. Shanghai up 28, that's 1%. Hang Seng up 432, 1.9%. Don't worry about those riots in Hong Kong. Don't worry about any of that stuff. We're going north here. Bonds, our 10-year 0.7. Right, so we're up 400s there. That's pretty good. We've got the Bund up minus 0.43. So that's actually up 5 basis points.
Japan minus 0.003, so they are stuck on zero, literally at zero. Oil up a dollar now, 34.31, Brent up 82 cents, 36.35, natural gas up 5 cents, $1.78, and the best index to be in the last 8 weeks, I mean, who'd have thunk it, was going to be the XLE, the one that got hammered. That's the oil index, but it's been the one that's done the best. And you, just when you thought the oil futures trading negative, everything, that wouldn't happen. It has. Gold is down $7, 17.28. Nobody needs any gold now. Market's going up. Silver up 21 cents, however, 17.91. Copper up 4 cents. A little bit of movement out of here. 242. Platinum up 870, 895. Jack, what do you got for us? Traffic with us. Every single stock in the Dow that's trading in the Dow Industrials and in transportation averages up this morning. It's a question of how much. We got Boeing is up 8 now. We're not sure why that is, but who knows? Maybe they'll sell a plane one of these days. Jack, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
We're looking pretty good this morning on the traffic standpoint. All traffic from the previous hour has been cleared up, and everything's looking good. We do have one issue on the Tri-State South at North Ave, where the two right lanes are closed with a pickup truck fire. So it doesn't seem to be causing much traffic right now, but there are two lanes closed, so it could be causing traffic in the near future. For weather, it's currently 74 degrees, mostly sunny, with some light rain showers throughout the area throughout the early afternoon. There's a high of 80. In Phoenix, it is currently 70 degrees and clear with a high of 103. This day in sports, we're going to 1992. The Chicago Blackhawks lose game one of the Stanley Cup Finals to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They go on to get swept in the series 4-0, and the Penguins go on to win the Stanley Cup. Chief.
Jeff, we've got everybody happy today. We've got one of the Dow stocks, Merck, that managed to, you know, not pay taxes for all those years and all kinds of other good stuff that they did. Finally, they've, just as we thought they would, they've jumped in and are doing a deal with a firm for one of these that is actually doing a vaccine. Why do I get the feeling that by the end of the day, the two or three big guys without any of the research whatsoever will control one of these vaccines? Why am I that suspicious?
Well, because, you know, about 2 decades ago, the major pharmaceutical like Merck, Pfizer, Warner Lambert, and, you know, just started making decisions that they could no longer afford the high cost of FDA trials and be in the drug discovery business, that they were appropriately in the drug distribution business, but they could purchase the incubators. So all they do is troll the FDA reports, you know, for where things are in phase one and phase two trials. Any sign, any indication of something coming through favorably data, they go in and swoop in and lock in either distribution rights or equity rights to those products. And these large, the publicly traded pharmaceutical companies now acquire medicines. They don't develop them anymore because it's way too expensive. You need, you know, the way that's set up with FDA trials, you know, basically $1 billion to get to trial phase three. And the typical company can't afford all those failures. And then you need to have one out of 20 to hit so you can get about $14 billion in revenue to offset the cost just to break even. And even the large companies can't afford that. So the small drug manufacturers that do one-off where they raise all their money from private investors, just they pin their hopes on this one drug, and either they make it or they fail, but they are immediately swooped up by the large public companies. So my bet is if there's anybody that's showing any sign of anything, that Merck is swooping in there and saying, well, look, you're going to need another 400,000 to get to phase two, and then you'll need distribution, and, you know, we should be your partner now. And yeah, I would put my money that one of the large public companies ends up having their finger on the scale when a vaccine gets approved, if it gets approved.
So let's say a guy who's very bright, but you really can't trust if you're a big guy. He's a traitor to his class. A guy like Roosevelt. Say a guy like you. You know, you're a traitor to your class. But you actually became a senator or a president, and you were going to really bring that cost down of getting a drug through, like in Europe or Israel or someplace, and instead of, you know, pick a number, a half $1 billion, you're going to bring it down to $50 million. Who do you think your biggest detractors would be?
To the biggest detractors?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? The biggest detractors?
Yeah, who'd be getting every lobbyist in the world to try and to either put an axe in your head or literally or figuratively?
Well, first it would be on my candidacy, but you know, I'm assuming
no, you're already in some scenario. Somehow we got
whiskey and weed are now part of the four basic food groups, and I'm a more attractive candidate. So if we're going to do that leap of faith, I'm sorry, so what's the second part of the question?
I said, who's going to be the biggest opposition to that plan of yours?
To that?
Making it easier and simpler for somebody to get a drug approved and cheaper.
Well, it would be, if I had a drug, it's going to be the FDA.
No, my friend. It would be Merck and Pfizer. They don't want you and I to be able to get a drug approved.
Oh, well, of course, which is why they operate in the manner, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you, but that's why they operate in the manner that they do. They immediately, you know, they recognize that they don't have the bandwidth to be engaged in drug discovery any longer, and that's not the best use of capital for them. They need to come in when drug discovery looks like, you know, something's getting through phase two and phase three. Phase one's very expensive. So, yeah, they don't try to play that game anymore. They try to become your partner immediately or buy you up.
But if it was cheaper, they'd be the ones. They don't want you to be able to do it yourself, I guess is my point.
Of course.
There's no... Anyway, let's get back to your discussion and the role, the history role China has to play. And I have two things I'll lob out there. Our friend Kevin, I don't know if you've listened on Wednesday and Friday when Kevin's on, but... He was teaching a class, and he teaches class, and somehow they must have finished early, and they started talking about the COVID. And one of the students goes, well, we should be like China. They seem to have stopped the spread of it. Kevin goes, wait a minute. They infected the whole world. Who the hell are you listening to? What do you mean stop the spread of it? They infected the whole world. What rag are you reading?
I would suggest that people do watch this because he did a great job for Reed Zakaria. Clearly when they knew this was human-to-human spreading, they did not stop any travel. 400,000 people traveled out of the Wuhan airport just over the course of a seven-day period, during which the time that Chairman Xing, he completely, he knew this but said nothing for 7 days. The 7 days are kind of critical to what happened. So China's completely at blame for this. There's no question.
Are you, where do you put me in my thoughts? I don't know if you've heard this when you've been on. I am absolutely convinced, Jeff, absolutely convinced that our people are in the news loop over there like a tick on a dog. And I think... If I were to advise the big guy upstairs, who surely doesn't need my advice, or want it, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking higher. I think we need another ring in hell for the businessmen here that knew this was going on, just like Z, and sent their people back and forth without regard.
Of course.
The thing that got me going on this was one of our listeners. Hope he's listening from Australia. Sent me a nice email. Saying that the, it's a long flight from, I guess, China to Australia. It can't be longer than here, but he said the chairman of Qantas made $23 million last year, and now the airline is not only not flying hardly, but he knew they were dropping people off those flights that were basically falling, with temperatures and everything else, and they didn't stop. They knew exactly what they were doing, somebody did. And I had a talk with one of my friends and my girlfriend's best friends, and unfortunately I like her company. We were in a car together through the most incredible rainstorm on the Stevenson, and we're talking about and she's a Trumper, and talking about how these people around him have not done the right job, the World Health Organization, the CDC, and I said, one of the things about leadership is you have to feel that there's certain knowledge that you need, and you go about getting it. Okay, you should never be surprised by your CDC. One of the one of the things about, I don't know how many people on the listening or you, Jeff, have read The Winds of War and War and Remembrance. And the thing interesting about The Winds of War, in my, well, there's a lot of stuff in there. It's interesting. Herman Wouk did a great job. But essentially, Pug Henry was the naval attaché to Berlin. And Roosevelt had known him from when he met him in the Navy before he got polio. Because Roosevelt was in the Navy, I think, before he got polio. And anyway, he remembered the guy as being a real straight shooter. So he invites the family to the White House, and Pug, of course, has no idea why the hell he's going to the White House. So they go, and of course, they get like their 2 minutes alone, and Roosevelt says, I know you're in Berlin. I know I can trust you. Here's what I want. Every week or two, I want a letter from you in the diplomatic pouch so nobody else can read it, to me. Not to Harry Hopkins, not to anybody. And I want your observations of what's going on over there. And I say, anything that you see different. Submarine factory all of a sudden goes with a second shift to working on Saturday. I want to know that. I want to know anything that changes to where the timing of what I think is going to happen might change. And I think that with all the stuff that Trump is, he's either not capable or he's too egotistical or something. You need to develop those kind of back channels. You shouldn't have to, you shouldn't, in that position, you can't wait for the World Health Organization, for your Center of Disease Control. You need to let those people, those business people, he did them enough favors, Jeff, to where one of those guys could have picked up the phone and said, you wouldn't believe what's happening over here and you gotta get on it. I mean, I bet either he was too dumb to take the call, which I doubt, because I don't think he's that dumb at all. I mean, or he never, none of those people helped him out after he helped them out. Now, either he didn't demand it, like Richard Daley would have done, the first one. Say, look, anything going on over here, you guys better let me know. Or something, because nobody did. I mean, I don't want to see my leader get surprised about stuff like this, because a real leader wouldn't.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to pretend like so many other talking heads do to be able to peer into that mixed up psyche of his, but if I had ventured a guess, I would say, I would attribute that to his paranoia that he, you know, he's so isolated himself because of his own paranoia that everyone's trying to take him down that he no longer values outside sources. It's a real problem, obviously.
Well, Nixon did
but
the same
I,
thing.
You know, again, that's conjecture that other people engage in. That's kind of ridiculous. But no, I don't see him doing that either. Just because I don't think he believes anybody anymore because he has no faith. You know, he views them all, everyone as his enemy. Everyone.
But you can't tell me, Jeff. Well, you can say it, but I refuse to believe that none of our people here that have factories over there were not acutely aware when this started out. And I absolutely believe that the people in the fashion industry in Milan knew exactly what was happening in those sweatshops over there, people falling over. And still were flying people back and forth. And to me, Jeff, I couldn't begin to forgive those people.
We knew it, months ago, in early January, a Chinese colleague shared me a photograph that his father snapped on his phone. He said, at risk of death, and it was a major road going into Wuhan where they lived that the military came by and took large blocks, the kind you'd see on a lakefront, and blocked the entire road so nobody could drive in or drive out. You know, we saw early signs of this. We knew that people were being locked in their apartments. I mean, yeah, so you're right. There's people know things.
Jeff, do you have an idea?
People know, but it doesn't keep the debate going on. I'll tell you something funny. I'll give you a quick one-minute story. You know, editorial teams tend to be left-leaning and liberal-leaning. I try to maintain a middle on our editorial team over at Luckbox because I am, you know, kind of a hardcore, you know, social progressive and a hardcore fiscal conservative, if there is such a thing. That's where I lie, and it allows me to kind of keep a middle on our own editorial direction. But the rest of the team is, you know, decidedly left-leaning, and that's pretty common among editorial staffs. And I often have to kind of bring them to a center. But it's not uncommon for them to be shooting me stories that, you know, as we kind of debate the shutdown as to, oh yeah, we got to stay locked down, we got to stay safe, you know, we're opening up too soon. That's you see that dominating the media, and it's no different even within my own little microcosm of a media world. So one of my editors sent me a story from Washington Post this morning, which I just completed reading during the break or glancing at.
And it basically was a WAPO front page story within the last couple of days that said one of the problems with ending the lockdown and coming back to work too quickly is that people are not valuing human life, that economic studies show that the value of a human life is $10 million, and that if we're going to lose those, every one life lost is $10 million lost, and that calculation has to occur in the course of evaluating if we come back, you know, if more people are infected because of reducing lockdowns too quickly. Now, anybody, clearly that wasn't written by anybody who's ever used a balance sheet before, right?
No.
Because the fallacy there is incredible to think of a human. It's what it doesn't reckon, and I just read this a moment ago, so I'm appalled by it, that this would be, you know, a front page story in WAPO or on the op-ed page. But what they don't realize is that humans aren't just assets. They're income-producing assets. And that's like saying if you have an income-producing home, like a, you know, like an apartment building, that you don't rent it out because someone might cause a fire in it. But if you don't rent it out, then it's not producing income, and it has zero value. In fact, it becomes a depreciating asset because you still have to pay for its upkeep and wear and tear. So to value, put a $10 million price tag on a human life of a human that's not working is probably one of the greatest economic fallacies I've ever seen.
Sure.
And that's the Washington Post telling you why we must stay in lockdown longer.
Well, they assume that the lockdown thing worked. Well, and the question is, are we, if put it this way, if you and I could put somebody in a lockdown and we somehow or another we were Solomon and said, by the way, a year to the day from now, we're going to have a vaccine that's 100% workable. That would work fine. But there's no, if the numbers, by the way, Jeff, the numbers, and we're running this by you, I'm sorry to shift into this, but since you came out and said you thought this was, you know, how much worse than a regular flu year, I'm going to say, given the Ohio numbers that I was reading last week, it's 5 to 6 times worse than, a pretty bad flu year. Which they've got it at 0.5% of the people that get it die. Okay, a normal flu is 0.1. The Hong Kong flu of 1968 was about 0.3.5 to 4. So it's about 50% worse than the Hong Kong flu, and 5 times worse than a regular flu. According to these are the Ohio sample numbers, which are you know. They are what they are, but at least they're attempted
right.
A sample.
Yeah, the CDC, the reason the numbers jive up is because the CDC report that I read, which I'll send you, used 0.26. So that's consistent with the math. If that was 0.5, that would be 5 times more. Yeah. 0.26 would be about twice more. So, yes,
the question is how much you want to take the bad decisions from the governors out of the nursing homes, because 70% of the people, is it 70, I believe, in Ohio,
That's exactly right. You're right, Chief. That's exactly right. Let's strip out all the nursing homes data. I mean, look at New York with 6,000 people, you know, in one state alone. That's probably higher than Ohio's total death toll.
So as you probably guess, I get, you know, a bunch of stuff from the left and the right every day, and I read it, and I try and piece together the stuff that it looks like it's real facts, because most of it isn't. There's not even an attempt at that. But it comes down to this, you know, how much do you want to frighten people and how much? But there's no question, Jeff, that when you put 500 people back in a factory, you're going to have an outbreak. I mean, there's no doubt this thing is amazingly contagious.
That's right.
But the question is, do you manage it locally? Do you send those people home? Do you do it at the end of 3 months? You've worked your way through it and make sure none of those people go home to old people and those kinds of things. I think we're going to have to do that if they use our, because it's not like there's no disease there. I mean, there is.
No, there's a serious disease.
I think that we could do this if we used our head, but somehow or another, the news media, it's not the news media anymore, it's the entertainment media. They don't want this story to die, because what's left of the market and what else? I mean,
explain the Cuomo pass. I'm curious about that. I heard Cuomo briefly, because he's not asked, he's not being held to task on the nursing home and, you know, the high death rate among the elderly.
It was before anybody knew.
His answer that I heard, which just was appalling, it was amazing to me, he said that federal restrictions that he was operating under require that there's no what's the word, discrimination.
Oh, bull.
Of people when it comes to health care.
Bull. Bull.
And of course that's bull,
yeah.
Because federal statutes against discrimination exist everywhere regarding everything.
Jeff, you said we only got 10 seconds. I'll help you. You said earlier the people that love Trump think he's lying because other people are being bad to him. The people that love Spitzer, it has to be somebody else's fault. That's the world we live in. It's the same thing, right? Not Spitzer.
Right.
What's
right.
The difference?
Well, there's a middle somewhere.
There's a middle somewhere.
And that acknowledges that Trump's an idiot, and so is everybody else.
Well, but I mean, it's not his fault somebody's doing it. If you like somebody, it's not their fault, right? I mean, isn't that the way the world is? If he's, what did my uncle used to say? If you like him, he's careful. If he's not, he's cheap. If you don't know, he's cheap, you know. Anyway, Jeff, talk to you next week, buddy. Now we're up 61. Wow. SP Futures and NASDAQ Futures up 145. Back tomorrow.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.